Heavenly Father, we thank you that there are those that have come to worship you today. And Lord, we thank you for this place that we could gather. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for as we think about that. And we concentrate more on that in this Thanksgiving season. And let your word tells us to rejoice always and in everything give thanks. And Lord, help us to live in a constant attitude of thanksgiving to you. But Lord, also, we just do want to express our appreciation to you for all that you have done for us and all that you have provided. We truly give you thanks. And we ask that you would be exalted in this service today, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to
sweet to trust in Jesus. Count your hidden blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done.
On the cross, crucified, in great sorrow he died. The giver of life is he. Yet my Lord was despised. Sorrow, and by his
Jumping the season here. This is for all seasons. Come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him. We have a season that we sing this song, but today is the day. Come, let us adore Him. Oh, come,
let us adore Him. Oh,
you are are worthy of all praise and adoration and glory. We exalt you today. We praise your name. We praise your matchless name. We praise your holy name. Holy, holy are you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanksgiving message this morning, and tonight I'm going to look at a subject that is almost foreign to our world today, and that is the subject of loyalty. And so I would encourage every parent to bring your child tonight, and every employer to bring your employees, if you have any. We need loyalty in our world today. And maybe you have struggled with friendships, and you wonder, just how long do you need to be loyal to that friend? Maybe they're doing things that are not appropriate that you cannot approve of. How long do you remain loyal to a person? I want to share some of those things with you tonight. But this morning, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've been looking at some very heavy-duty subjects the last few weeks, and today we're going to keep this on a lighter note. The title of the message today, Rejoice and Be Thankful. Rejoice and Be Thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. I have nothing against verse 17, pray without ceasing. I think it's a great idea. But for the subject of the message today, we're skipping that one. And we're looking at verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Two commands there, rejoice evermore, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I'd like to begin by sharing with you some thought-provoking questions on life. Are you ready? Why is it considered necessary to nail down the lid of a coffin? Why does the sun lighten our hair but darken our skin? Why doesn't glue stick to the inside of a bottle? And I love this one. Why don't you ever see the headline, Psychic Wins Lottery? Why is a boxing ring square? For you ladies, why is it called lipstick if you can still move your lips? Why is it that rain drops but snow falls? Now, here's one that's really close to home to me. I don't know about you, but why is it that when you are driving and you are looking for an address that you either turn down the volume on the radio or you turn off the radio completely? Does anybody else do that or is it just me? Why is lemon juice made with artificial flavor and dishwashing liquid made with real lemons? Here is a really good one. This is one you really need to consider. Why is it the man who invests all your money, why is it that he is called a broker? And why is the time of day when the slowest traffic, with the slowest traffic called rush hour? Now, those are just some good questions, some thought-provoking questions, but I have just two more for you this morning. First one is this, are you a rejoicing Christian? And number two, are you a thankful Christian?
Those are some thought-provoking questions as well. Are you a rejoicing Christian? Are you a thankful Christian? We ought to be rejoicing and we ought to be thankful. If anybody in the world should be rejoicing and being thankful, it should be Christians. We have a lot to rejoice about. We have a lot to be thankful for. So are you a rejoicing Christian? Are you a thankful Christian? Well, you need to be for a number of reasons. I would like to share some of those reasons with you this morning. You ought to be a rejoicing and a thankful Christian because, number one, there is always somebody worse off than you. Isn't that true? There is always somebody that is worse off than you. And for that, we can be thankful and we can be grateful that we don't have it as bad as some people have it. Hannah Whitehall Smith said, "Where the soul is full of peace and joy, outward surroundings and circumstances are of comparatively little account." You have so much to be thankful for. Think about those things this morning that you have to be thankful for. You know, we tend to focus on the things that are not so pleasant in our life. Oh, maybe you don't like your job. Let me encourage you today. Be thankful that you do not have Dave Dreck's job. What Dave Dreck does is put on scuba gear and search for golf balls in the ponds of southern Florida. Local news columnist Seth Suffian described Dave's job. "You're dirty, cold, covered in muck, 15 or 20 feet underwater, and you can't see more than a few feet in front of your face. You're crawling on your hands and knees, combing your way through weeds like grass, lake grass, thorns, rocks, broken glass, and tree limbs. Then you grab a tree branch. And not only does it not move, but it latches onto your arm. You have just made contact with an alligator." Why does Drake do this? Last year, he salvaged 750,000 golf balls, for which he got a dime apiece. One guy alone finds 750,000 golf balls. That tells you what kind of hackers they have down in Florida. Well, I'll tell you this. You're not going to have to go underwater today. You're not going to have to be wrestling alligators. You'll not be covered with muck and debris, so you can be thankful. You know, when you walk into your place of business tomorrow, say, "Praise the Lord, there's no alligators here, and I'm not underwater." Now, the people might look at you as kind of strange, but you'll start the conversation off on the right foot. You'll have an uplifting day if you're thankful. If you rejoice and are thankful in the things of life, you know, things just seem to go so much better, don't they? Rejoice and be thankful. You know, the Bible says rejoice in some things. Is that right? All things, right? Rejoice in all things. Some of you are awake. That's good. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You surely have a lot to be grateful for. So you ought to rejoice because, number one, there is always somebody that has it worse than you do. You ought to rejoice because, number two, rejoicing allows you to turn even troubles into potential stepping stones to the top. Rejoicing allows you to turn even troubles into potential stepping stones to the top. I'd encourage you this morning, I would encourage you with these two words. Never, or three words. Yeah, never give up. Three words. Never give up. No matter how hopeless your situation might be, don't quit. Never give up. Instead, rejoice, even in the situations that are difficult for you to rejoice in. Rejoice even when trouble comes, because that trouble might be the thing that would cause you to rise to a higher level, to rise to the top. One day a farmer's donkey fell into a well. The animal cried piteously for hours as the farmer tried to figure out a way how to get this donkey out of the well. Finally, he decided the animal was old and, well, it just needed to be covered up anyway. He thought it was just not worth his time or worth his while to retrieve the donkey. So he invited his neighbors to come over to help him. He and the neighbors, they all grabbed shovels and they began to throw dirt in the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening and cried horribly. And then, to everybody's amazement, the donkey quieted down. A few shovelfuls later, the farmer finally looked down into the well, and he was astonished at what he saw. With every shovel of dirt that hit his back, the donkey would shake it off and take a step up. The more dirt thrown down on him, the closer to the top of the well he came. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed when that donkey stepped over the edge of the well and trotted off. Now, the moral of the story is this. Life is not always easy. Sometimes you fall into a pit and it seems like the people around you start to bury you. They're not helping you. They're throwing more dirt. They're throwing more debris. And pretty soon you feel overwhelmed and you feel like you're going to be buried underneath it all. The trick to getting out of that hole where you have fallen is to shake off that dirt and debris and take a step up. Use that dirt to climb higher, to step higher up. Every trouble we encounter is a potential stepping stone to the top. What troubles are you having today? You know, those troubles are potential. I say potential because you have to deal with those troubles in the right way. They are potential stepping stones to take you higher. They are stepping stones that will take you closer to God. They'll make you more like Jesus. It'll take you closer to freedom. The goals, the dreams, and the desires that you and God have for your life. You get out of your situations by not quitting, by not giving up, but by shaking off the dirt and taking a step up. You know, the book of Philippians teaches us that really we have three options when we are confronted with old man trouble. Three options. Number one, you can resent it. And that's what a lot of people do. They resent the trouble that comes in their life. It says in Job that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, which means every person born in the world is going to have trouble. You can resent that trouble. Or number two, you can resign your call. You can quit. You can give up. If this situation is going to cause me this much trouble, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to leave it alone. You can resign the call. Or you probably know what the third choice is. It's what the Apostle Paul did, what he told us to do, rejoice. Rejoice how often? Always. And a reminder, again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know that rejoicing is the component that when you add rejoicing to a trial, you then get the strength to overcome and to endure the trial. If you don't rejoice, you might not have the strength to get through the trial. And so it's necessary that you rejoice. Nehemiah chapter 1, or chapter 8 and verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you lack strength, then you need to be rejoicing. You can be a rejoicing Christian. We should at least have as much sense as a donkey, right? Turn those troubles into stepping stones in reaching the top. So you ought to be a rejoicing and a thankful Christian. Number three, because sometimes unplanned events in your life, even ones that are unpleasant at the time, can result in good things happening. I'll repeat that because it is a mouthful. Sometimes unplanned events in your life, even ones that are unpleasant at the time, can result in good things happening. Anybody here ever have something unplanned hit their life? Doesn't matter how organized you are, right? There are some things that you just cannot control, that you don't plan. And sometimes those things that come in, those intruders, are unpleasant, but they can result in good things happening. rejoicing is a result of really not so much what happens in our lives, but of what happens because of the one who lives in our hearts. That's why we are rejoicing. We don't rejoice in trouble, but we rejoice that we can still have joy in our hearts because Jesus is there and he'll take us through the troubles. How many of you have ever heard of the singing group, The Couriers? Anybody? Not too many. Valerie, are you the only, you and I are the only ones that have ever heard of The Couriers? I guess the younger generation probably wouldn't know them anyway. But they were singing in South Africa many years ago. And they sang a wonderful song called I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Halfway through their song, the electrical power vanished, and they had to finish singing that song a cappella. It was so good that the Couriers never used a track on that song again. They always sang it without accompaniment. And in fact, it became their signature song. When you thought of the Couriers, you thought of this song, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. All over the world, people heard that great anthem of praises. Really, only the Couriers could sing it. But what started out as an unpleasant development in a concert where they lost electricity, and it really at the high moment, the climax of the concert, it turned out to be an advancement of the ministry of the Couriers. I say that to say this, your setbacks might not be the negative factor or the negative thing that you think they are. They may not be the negative fact that they seem to be at the moment. Rather, they could be the key to starting something truly wonderful and marvelous for you and for God's kingdom. So don't let your heart be troubled today. Let not your heart be troubled. Rejoice in everything. Give thanks. Rejoice always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you realize that when something happens that you hadn't planned, and it seems to be negative, but you look for the positive and you trust God for the positive, you might be on the verge of starting something big. You just might be on that verge. You never know. So rejoice. Rejoice and give thanks. See, if you're not rejoiceful and if you don't give thanks, it'll never have the potential of bigness that God wanted it to. You must handle it in the right way. You must rejoice and give thanks. What if the Couriers would have stopped singing? The lights went off. We lost power. We cannot finish this concert. We cannot go on. Don't give up. Don't give up. And realize that the very thing that's happening might be the start of something new in your life. Number four, you ought to rejoice and give thanks. Because you don't know who is watching and who you might influence with your rejoicing spirit. You don't know who's watching you. There are more people watching you than you realize. And they want to see how you're going to respond to situations and circumstances in life. So rejoice and give thanks because you don't know who is watching and you don't know what it might do for them. A young Indian man once walked into a church service. He was searching for something that was missing in his life. He was a Hindu, but he was not satisfied with his religion. He was actually considering becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Later, he wrote about the church service. The congregation did not strike me as being particularly religious. They were not an assembly of devout souls, but appeared rather to be worldly-minded people going to church for recreation and in conformity to custom. He sadly concluded that if this was Christianity, it added nothing to his Hinduism. That Indian man turned away from Jesus Christ and never considered him again. Tragic, unbelievably tragic, because that man, his name was Mohandas Gandhi. Albert Einstein would later write about Gandhi The moral influence which Gandhi has exercised upon thinking people may be far more durable than would appear likely in our present age. Today, India Today is largely a reflection of that remarkable man. And I ask you, what if the church in Pretoria that he attended that day had been filled with the presence of God? What if the pastor had preached Christ? What if Gandhi had been warmly received by that congregation and by caring believers? What if that church had been filled with rejoicing Christians? And it was obvious to all that these Christians had a deep sense of joy and love and devotion to God. What if these Christians were able to give thanks despite the tragedies and the circumstances that were unfavorable in their lives? What if they had done those things? Why, the entire face of India could have been reversed. India, with its 1 billion souls, could have been a Christian nation by now. All because of one service. One service. If a man had found Christ in that service, it would literally have changed the destiny of a nation. When you go to church, you have no idea who may be there. Maybe even somebody who will influence the whole world. So we dare not be nonchalant about church. We dare not be nonchalant about that service. Christ is watching, Christ is observing, but perhaps another Gandhi as well. Rejoicing is always proof to the world that God can satisfy, fully satisfy, the human heart. And that's why I think that there should have been rejoicing in that service, because if unbelievers see Christians truly rejoicing, they find that Christ is the answer that satisfies the longings of the human heart. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I'll close with a quote by Andrew Murray. He said, "Joy is not luxury or a mere accessory in the Christian life. It is the sign that we are really living in God's wonderful love, and that love satisfies us." I have two questions, thought-provoking questions. Are you a rejoicing Christian? Are you a thankful Christian? Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? As you shut out the world and the people around you, ask yourselves those questions, those two questions this morning. Are you a rejoicing Christian? Are you a thankful Christian? I'm not asking you today if you feel like a rejoicing Christian, or you feel like a thankful Christian, because feelings don't have to play into the matter. You can decide with your will, I will rejoice, I will give thanks. And right where you're at this morning, would you say, either in your heart or out loud, "Lord, in you I rejoice, and I give you thanks for all things." When we do that, even when we don't feel like it, pretty soon the heart begins to follow, and the emotions will come. But it's a decision that you have to make. Rejoice always. And again I say rejoice. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, we want to be rejoicing Christians. We want to be thankful. So help us to remember all the things that we can rejoice about and that we have to be thankful for. And Lord, for those that are going through troubles, and it's just very hard for them to rejoice and to give thanks because of their situation, I pray, Lord, that you would minister your grace to them today. I pray that you would give them a spirit of rejoicing. Lord, that you would give them a heart of thanksgiving. Would you do that for them even now, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Before we leave today, right where you are, just begin to thank the Lord for certain things. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my health. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for our nation. Thank you for our jobs. We thank you for our children. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we have your word. We thank you that we have freedom to worship you and to serve you. We give you thanks. Thanks. Lord, we do give you thanks. Lord, your word tells us, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Thank you today that we have breath, that we can praise you. And we do offer praise. We offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving today. We pray, Lord, that it would be received by you. Lord, that you would be blessed by our heart of gratefulness. May you just be lifted up and magnified because of our lives. Lord, may we take this message, may we be able to apply it, that we might always rejoice and give thanks. And when the tendency comes to give up, Lord, we will see those troubles as stepping stones to move higher. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.